Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling. It's Friday, January 22nd, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry. Take control of your dental health. Call Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best dentist I've ever gone to, the only dentist I've gone to the last 27 years. 317-849-2933. Let's talk about sports. We got a lot of basketball coming up this weekend. We have some football to talk about too, the Indianapolis Colts, maybe some more changes to that coaching staff. But first, I want to talk about Henry Aaron. He passed away today at the age of 86. Henry Aaron was the first guy to beat Babe Ruth's home run record. He did it in 1974. Then Barry Bonds, once there were syringes and HGH and steroids and that stuff, before those chemicals turned Barry Bonds into a giant orbed home run hitting monster, you had Henry Aaron, who did it the right way, who did it through relentless, consistent, power hitting, magical prowess. That's what he did. But I want to talk about the man first, because what Henry Aaron stood for, what he represented in my mind, is dignity. He was always dignified. He didn't say much, but when he did, you listened. And when he spoke, he never spoke of himself. He spoke of his teammates. He spoke of his friends. He spoke of those issues that he felt strongly about. A victim of racism himself, he was a staunch advocate for the elimination of racism as a concept, and he was absolutely right every time he opened his mouth. If you followed him on social media, you saw him lament the loss of friends of his like Tom Seaver and Frank Robinson, those who were his contemporaries that he had great respect for. Henry Aaron did what he did in an era where it was really, really difficult. He was facing Hall of Famers just about every other day. And he hit home runs before there was such a thing as launch angle, and before hitters started expanding the strike zone in order to create more contact and more at-bats where they could possibly hit home runs. Henry Aaron was willing to take a walk. In fact, he walked more often, 19 times more, than he struck out. How about this? Henry Aaron averaged 37.5 home runs per season for 17 straight years, from 1957 through 1973. He never hit 50 in a season, ever. He just continued to be the machine that he was and create opportunities. I heard this story from a guy who played with Henry Aaron. This is how he described the difference between Henry Aaron and Willie Mays as a defensive outfielder. He said that Henry Aaron was really underrated as a defensive outfielder, because Henry Aaron, what he would do is when the ball was hit, he would sprint to the spot, stop, and catch it. So fans watching both on TV and in the stands, they thought that that every fly ball was just hit to Aaron. With Mays timed his approach to fly ball's descent to be at a dead sprint every time he got to it. So even the routine fly balls, Willie Mays made look spectacular. Henry Aaron, every spectacular catch he made, he made look normal and every day. And that was Henry Aaron. If you ever went to watch him play, I went to watch Clemente play, I saw Mays play, I've seen Johnny Bench play, I saw Aaron play twice. I cannot remember a single thing that Henry Aaron did, because what Henry Aaron did was never spectacular. He never was dynamic. He never shined that spotlight on himself. He never tried to draw attention to himself. All he tried to do was behave with dignity, be a good teammate, and be as good as he could be every day he played the game. And that's a hell of a legacy. Conrad Brunner, earlier today, had a beautiful thing that he wrote about Henry Aaron on Facebook. And he called Henry Aaron, not his favorite player, that was Frank Howard. He called him his favorite example. What a great legacy to leave, right? Being people's favorite example. I thought it was very elegant, and so Conrad Brunner. Let's talk about Indiana basketball for a minute. Indiana basketball, last night, you know what? They got the win against Iowa, and it was a terrific win. They played really, really well the last 12 minutes of the game. I thought that Jordan Geronimo was absolutely stellar when Race Thompson and Trace Jackson Davis were in foul trouble. I thought the minutes that he gave Indiana from 8:10 left in the game until he was taken out of the game a little bit later, about 6 minutes later, five, 6 minutes later, I thought they were critical. in Indiana's victory. Let's be honest, though. This had as much to do with Iowa playing poorly as it did Indiana playing well. Jordan Bohannon is not going to go 0 for 8 from beyond the stripe or from beyond the arc very often like he did last night. In the games leading up to that game, he was like 25 of 33 from beyond the arc. Absolutely sick from a percentage standpoint. He makes shots, and he made none last night. He threw up a goose egg. Indiana, conversely, they hit shots that they normally don't hit. They were 8 of 17 from beyond the arc, and they hit their last 8 foul shots after starting the game 9 of 21 from the line. Even with the final 8 all makes, Indiana shot 60% from the stripe last night. Indiana gets the win, but now, you know what? 48 hours from now, we're already going to know what happened on Sunday as they take on Rutgers at Simon Scott Assembly Hall. They win that game. You know what? All is right with the world. They lose that game. It completely negates the positive value of winning last night at Iowa. They moved up in KenPom ratings from 33 to 22. I don't know what the hell that means, but it's pretty good. Midway through the season, why not? So, Indiana, are they on a roll? I don't think they're on a roll. I think they beat Rutgers noon on Sunday, and then they got a run of games against Michigan, at Michigan, then they play at home against Illinois, and then Iowa. Those three games are going to be tough, and if you don't think that Iowa's not going to come into Simon Scott Assembly Hall with a little bit of boiling blood in their veins, you're out of your mind. If you think Fran McCaffrey's going to forget all about this over the course of the next 2 weeks, you're a crazy person. They're going to come into Simon Scott Assembly Hall, and Indiana is going to get Iowa's best shot, which is not what they got last night. Tonight, Purdue, 4-game winning streak on the line. They play Michigan. Michigan, really, really good. Michigan had been undefeated until their last game against Minnesota. Minnesota kind of beat them up a little bit. I think Michigan's going to come in with an edge, kind of that same edge I was talking about Iowa having as they come to Assembly Hall in a couple of weeks. I think that Michigan's going to have that tonight as they take on the Boilermakers. And that's going to, if Purdue wins this one, Purdue is absolutely for real. Really, really, really good and getting better and evolving forward toward a really good and dangerous NCAA tournament team. Is Indiana an NCAA tournament team? I don't. The game that was going to be played tonight between Butler and Seton Hall at Hinkle Fieldhouse, that's been scrubbed because of COVID. So there you go. The Pacers host Orlando. Here's my thought about the Orlando Magic. If I was the Czar of the Universe or Adam Silver, I would contract the NBA from 30 teams to 24 teams. I just think there are too many teams. And one of the teams I would contract out of existence is the Orlando Magic because they are just never, ever, ever relevant. Would you pay to go see the Orlando Magic play? Would you, if you were in Orlando, Florida, and you got free tickets to go see the Magic play basketball against a similar team, like let's say the Sacramento Kings, would you go? If it was free and the arena was across the street, would you go? I don't think I would. I don't need the Orlando Magic in my life. I don't need them playing the Pacers. I have no interest in them. They are rarely in the playoffs, and when they are, they're completely irrelevant to the playoffs. The Pacers, conversely, go to the playoffs all the time, and more often than almost anybody else in the Eastern Conference, they've gone to the Eastern Conference Finals over the course of the last 25, 30 years. So that's good. They're plenty relevant. I do not contract the Pacers out of existence. Sadly, speaking of out of existence, the NBC Sports Network is going to be no more. NBC is telling cable carriers, hey, our network is not going to make it. We're going to cut the cord, literally, and the network is no longer going to exist. In most places, this doesn't mean anything because nobody watches the NBC Sports Network. There's nothing on there but Olympic sports and IndyCar racing and some NASCAR. The IndyCar, I'm going to miss. It's going to have to go someplace else. I don't know where it's going to go. I hope that they hire the team that NBC has put together, Kevin Lee, Robin Miller, all those guys, and they take them lock, stock, and barrel, and they produce the IndyCar product in just the same way that NBC Sports Network did. I would be very happy to see that happen. Let's talk about the Colts. Nick Sirianni, goners, right? He's gone to Philadelphia. Some people are very upset that Eric Bieniemy did not get that job. There is still a job open, and that's Houston. And people are saying that Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator of the Colts, a white man, is the leader in the clubhouse in the race for that job. I am telling you that there is going to be more hell raised than a little bit, to put it in the vernacular of Bum Phillips, the former Houston Oilers coach. I forgot the name, right? Because they became the Tennessee Titans. It gets confusing. But the old Houston Oilers coach, you're going to have more trouble in a little bit if you don't hire Eric Bieniemy. Because three African-American coaches in the NFL, given the fact that 70% of the players are African-American or black, you got to correct that. You've had the Rooney Rule for how long? And owners are still unwilling to trust black coaches with their team, with their franchise. This is outrageous. And I'm all for everybody getting an even shake. But at some point, the rubber's got to meet the road, right? You've got to stand for something. You can't just have a Rooney Rule where guys get interviews and then nobody's ever hired. You know, Eric Bieniemy should be the next coach of the Texans. And if he's not, that's going to be problems. Matt Eberflus, if he goes to the Texans, Godspeed. Enjoy yourself. I would guess, not that anybody's asked me, but that if we had to pick somebody that we were going to miss more, either Nick Sirianni or Matt Eberflus, I'm going to take Sirianni. I would like to see the Colts, if Eberflus leaves, I would like to see the Colts hire a defensive coordinator who is more aggressive, more kind of, you know what, we are not giving up more yards than we have to. Bend, don't break bothers me. I don't like it. I like complicated schemes that make it difficult to gain yardage. I don't like third and eight being answered with a bubble that extends 15 yards into the defensive backfield. I just don't like that. Matt Eberflus, something that he does exceptionally well is he holds guys accountable for missed tackles and for not hustling. He calls them loafs. And if you get a loaf during a game, that's a problem for you. If you don't pursue the ball at all times while you're on the field defensively, you answer to Eberflus and you answer to your teammates. That is a great aspect of coaching that Matt Eberflus really advances. Schematically, I got to tell you, I'm not a fan. I'm just not. I think you show up defensively and you say, you know what? We're going to kick your ass. Not, hey, we're going to play off and allow you to gain yardage as you like until you get to the red zone, and then we're going to tighten it up. I don't understand that. I think defense is about drawing a line in the turf and saying, you do not cross this line. And that line is the line of scrimmage. You play tough guy football. Matt Eberflus does a great job of holding guys accountable, but schematically, I think the Colts could do better. Have a great weekend. Go Boilers tonight. Go Pacers tonight. Go Hoosiers on Sunday. Beat the hell out of Rutgers. For the love of God, prove that you're capable of playing really good basketball for more than 12 minutes at a time. Let's go. We'll talk to you Monday morning, bright and early, 7 o'clock on Facebook Live, 7:15 on Periscope and Twitter. I cannot wait to talk to you then. Brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry, Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best at what he does, 317-849-2933.